Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Comic News Insider. I'm your host Joe, and I'm flying solo at the moment to introduce to you a special interview that we did with Darwin Cook. We had this opportunity to have an interview with Darwin at San Diego Comic-Con, and we're putting it up now. I apologize for the delay in getting our episodes out. I've been quite busy and have not had a chance to put up any new episodes, but here's a new one for you now, and there'll be a new one coming in the next few days, so make sure you tune in. So check this out. Darwin Cook discusses Solo and his work on Batman the Animated Series, as well as a great new upcoming project that he has in store, and he shares it with our listeners. So take a listen and enjoy the interview with Darwin Cook.
Joining us on today's podcast is Darwin Cook. Darwin, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us on Comic News Insider. To start off with, I wanted to touch base, going back to the animated work, Batman Beyond and the animated series. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with that and how that collaboration started.
Well, like most things in my life, it started in a rather absurd way. I had a very small animation company back home in Toronto, Canada, and we provided animation for commercials, video shoots, and things like that. And one day I picked up a comics journal, and there was a full-page ad for the Batman Superman shows. They were looking for designers and storyboard artists. And, you know, I'd been under the impression, because this show was so good, you know, that they had guys lined up for 100 miles to work on that show.
Wow, yeah, I would too. I would think they'd
pretty
revolutionary.
I even thought of sending in work to those people. So as soon as I saw the ad, I spent the next 2 weeks preparing a storyboard sample, which I sent down to Bruce. And lo and behold, they hired me, and the rest was not necessarily history, but at least it was gone.
That's great.
It looked like a pretty impressive start off, I'm going to tell you what.
Exactly. I mean, I think their work was pretty revolutionary for just in the animation industry and what they chose, their style and their approach to it. I thought was pretty dynamic.
It was a really special time, you know. It's funny, when you look at television animation in America, you can kind of just imagine what it must have been like to be in the Warner's lot in the 40s or the 50s. And, you know, in another 20 years, we're all going to be talking about, man, imagine if you've been in that studio with Bruce and Paul Dini.
Exactly.
You know, back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity to be a part of that. So I couldn't pass it up.
Great.
So, listeners know, we are at the Comic-Con right now in San Diego, and we're outside interviewing, so if you hear these excess noises up
in that. We apologize.
Going by planes, you know,
we couldn't get studio time for this.
Low-flying traffic.
Hey, you know, right. We like to keep it real, you know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
So, on to New Frontiers. You're tackling, I think, a huge storyline. What sort of kind of preparation did you have going into that?
It's interesting. The era had always fascinated me. So a lot of what a lot of guys would call the research I'd already done over decades of just studying the furniture, the architecture, the social events and the historical moments that sort of made up the era, I had a heck of a head start in that regard. But yeah, the real trick was finding, well, at least what I'd like to call a cohesive storyline that cuts across so many areas and ties together neatly. That was the real challenge.
Hmm. Well, you found it, because when I picked up that first issue, I was amazed. You know, I thought it was just great. And every time the next issue came out, I read it immediately. And I know your fellow professionals feel the same way. A buddy of ours, Cassidy, was saying that was his favorite book last year.
Yeah, I pay John to say something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, just make him buy me drinks, but you know.
John's very, very sweet. It was nerve-wracking because he seemed fairly certain editorially that I should take the lead provided by Marvel's and Kingdom Come and have a narrator, a person who tied the book together. And, you know, they were thinking along the lines of, say, Perry White or Lois or something
the
like that.
Style, sure, yeah.
Very good idea. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to cover the same ground, and I knew it would make it a little too easy and clean to pull it all together. I also didn't want my story to reflect the point of view or sensibility of any one person. Mm-hmm. So I came up with this idea of these blackout vignettes that over the course of the first two books seemed completely unrelated. So it's almost like you're reading a collection of short stories, and they're all vibing the same way, and they're all kind of, you don't know where it's driving though.
Sure.
And it slowly laces tighter and tighter as we go into the book, and all of a sudden that vignette approach to it becomes clear to the reader. They know where we're going. You cut tighter, tighter, tighter till it all pulls together. And yeah, I hope it worked. There are a few weak spots in there that I, but gosh.
I don't know. I think it was really interesting that you focused on Hal Jordan. What made you pick Hal over like any of the other league members?
Yeah. Well, first off, there's affection for the character. He was simply, I was not a big fan of the, you know, as Alex Toth says, the super jocks. Superheroes.
Right.
When I was a kid, I preferred, you know, the big five war books. I was a Kubert guy, Russ Heath guy.
Right.
I liked the Challengers and Weird War and Weird Western. Those were the books that I really liked. But Green Lantern, yeah, I couldn't resist that guy. He was the one DC superhero that I just loved. And to me, he had to be the focus. Because the whole backdrop of this story is the Jet Age. And the idea of analog dropping away and digital coming in, and Hal was the only character to me that fully represented that. The Flash did to a degree,
mm-hmm.
but he was really, Barry was a forensic scientist until he got hit by lightning. That doesn't make him any less heroic, but it makes him a hell of a lot less sexy than Hal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Hal's a bad boy pilot, you know.
Right, on the edge and
right.
Chosen.
Right. Great. Well, I think it was a great choice. I mean, like, I actually thought about that when I first read it. I go, oh, what made him pick Hal, you know, like, as opposed to, I think, what Barry probably came to my mind is another one. And I'm sure, like you said, that the big jocks might have been too easy, you know, picking Clark or, you know.
Well,
like
it's also terrain that's been trampled to death.
Right.
And, exactly. Let's face it, I mean, even the staunchest DC defenders will have to admit that this was the biggest set of stuffed shirts ever. These guys were relatively devoid of character. They were plot-driven stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that being the case, those guys were all blank slates. As long as I kept them virtuous on some level, I could explore their character in almost any way because nothing had been carved in stone. And like with Barry, I thought, man, he'd have an inferiority complex.
Right.
You know? Like, here's Superman towing the moon back into its orbit, right? And Barry's like running around a jewelry store trying to stop some asshole named the Trickster. And, you know, it really came down for Barry to, he gets a defining moment. You know, he finally has an opportunity to play on Superman's level, and that became my hook into the character.
Right. Now.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Great, yeah.
I tell you what, it worked. And I think I'd love to see some more work like that from you. It was really great stuff, and I know I'm not alone in that. I know a lot of people out there read it and loved it, a lot of people I talked to. So.
Yeah, you know, if you don't mind me saying, I just, anybody who's ever come up to me, you know, I just want to say thanks. I couldn't even begin to imagine that the book would have been able to get this kind of response from so many different people, you know, that enjoy comics. And so, all of you, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Great.
Well, as one of them, you're welcome. So.
Yeah. And now on to Solo.
Solo Mio.
A little back history on that.
Sure. Solo is the brainchild of Mark Chiarella. I thought it was a pretty brilliant idea.
Yeah.
It's also indicative of DC, I think, that they will support and nurture a project like this. I think it speaks to the difference maybe in certain companies do business.
Yeah.
But DC's always had, I think, a vested interest in promoting stronger, maybe not as commercial work, where artists are given an opportunity to really shine. And so Solo fits at DC, and you know, I think it's a fantastic book. I've enjoyed them all.
I really
others.
Hope it continues.
I think you've had a nice following from it already. Like I think there seems to be, just seeing people here at the convention, a great response to the book, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of positive feedback from people that have come up to you.
Honestly, I think, you know, In fact, I came up with the idea of doing the funny pages. Mm-hmm. I think that's what did it. That put the hook in. Everybody loved the gags.
They come up
to me and they go, what a great idea. You know? And it was like, having been a magazine art director through most of my early 20s, I wanted to look at it more like that. As a publication that has threads and features and bits and pieces that all kind of went together.
Easy McSweeney's, you know?
Yeah, why not?
Right.
Actually, if I'm going to throw out the props, I mean, they would go to Klaus, 8-Ball 22.
Yeah.
It's really the book that...
Actually, 23 just won the Eisner.
I'm going to be honest, I think 23 is an inferior work to 22. I think 22 is a masterpiece. I think 23 speaks to Dan's own insecurities that he has to keep coming back and addressing superhero comics. He keeps saying they're irrelevant and he doesn't like them and they don't matter and he doesn't care, but his work is rife with it, you know? So I really preferred 22 because I thought it made a cleaner statement.
And your advertising on magazine background, did that come up with some of the design idea for the cover? Because that is a very graphic look, that solo cover.
Well, you know, that's Mark, right? The look of the book is definitely Mark.
Okay.
He puts that together. But yeah, the pages within, I was definitely trying to keep it as fresh and interesting as I could and make sure that as short as they were, the features had punch or had something to say. And that I was covering different areas. Because I want people to see, you know, I'm just not punching the shit out of superheroes here. I maybe have a few other things I'd like to roll out in front of people. And the response was good enough to encourage me to want to do more.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, I mean, like, we all grew up, you know, big superhero geeks and everything. But the older I've gotten, even when I was younger, I really enjoyed the stories, whether it be by the writer, the artist, or both, or whatever. A story about a person. And that's why I love about the New Frontier so much. It was just, I felt it was about the people, not that there's this great superheroes, it's about the person. And so more stories like that, bring them on.
I thought it was important, too, like at this particular time in our industry, to see if it was still possible to tell a compelling story where the characters embodied their heroic ideal.
Mm-hmm.
My point of view on these characters has always been, out of the billions of people on this planet, these are the seven that you can't buy.
Right.
You know? I look at them maybe more like ordained ministers, and that doesn't mean they're religious freaks.
Right.
But they got their priorities straight, and they're not swayed by money, avarice, greed, breasts.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well.
You know? And I thought, can you still tell an interesting story that's going to hold the reader's attention in 2005 featuring such allegedly boring and one-dimensional types. And so that was the challenge.
Right. Do you have a website?
Nah.
Nah. No web people can see.
You want to know something? How many books ship late every month? You guys probably know better than I do.
A lot.
Oh.
A lot.
Yeah.
See, guys are always complaining that I don't return emails or I don't call. And to all of you out there, sorry, I'm shouting out to you now. But the thing is, you got to work hard to get that work done.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. You know, a website? No. I want to tell stories, as many as I can. And, you know, one day maybe. But right now, I'd rather devote my waking hours just to telling more stories and get more work out there.
Yeah. So for now, listeners, go out to the store and pick up Darwin's work.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Right. Any big upcoming projects, any little upcoming projects, something going on?
There's this little thing we're going to be doing this year called The Spirit. You might have heard of that. Well,
I may have heard of that. Maybe.
That's all I
have. Do that Eisner guy.
Project.
Wow,
I call it Career Suicide 101. But
is it just you, or are you going to do a collaborative effort? Or
we're going to lead off with a crossover book. We're going to do a Batman Spirit book.
Oh, my.
Wow.
And Jeff Loeb's going to write that.
Woo!
Big news, people. Wow, tremendous.
40 pages, and we've already got that plotted, and it's going to be a hoot. It features everybody.
Wow.
And we've actually got a tight, fun story to roll it all into, which is, I've always thought one of the problems with the crossover You know, those books are always the same, right? It's like,
yeah.
Joker goes to Detroit, Jigsaw goes to Gotham, or whatever the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like, how can we defeat that approach to the book? And I think we've come up with a really neat
Great.
Story.
Looking forward to that.
Tell us that crossover secret now.
Yeah.
So when does it come out?
That's going to roll out in December. Tentatively.
Okay.
Okay, I haven't got anything okay. carved in stone from BC on that, right. but I know we're looking at December. And then shortly after that, we'll roll out the monthly spirit book that I'll be writing and drawing.
Wow.
That's great. It's great.
Looks like you got your work cut out for you.
Exactly. So, yeah, if I don't call you back.
Right. You know why.
Because I'm writing, drawing, and inking this son of a bitch.
Exactly.
Every month. So, I'm sorry.
Well, it's great
sorry,
to
Mom.
See you talk on that character because your character development alone is, I mean, like I said, and just a new frontier and other work alone is great. So, let's see what you can do with spirit. So,
should be exciting.
Forward to it, yeah.
Big shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, big shoes, and I'm really lucky. Dennis Kitchen is directly involved in that.
Oh, that's great.
He's
yeah.
the executor of the estate.
Yeah,
that's great.
And he's been fantastic. We couldn't see this more eye to eye, I don't think. So, like, the team's there, and the guys from New Frontier are coming along. You know, Mark is always editing. You know, that's my guy.
Nice.
And Dave Stewart. Of course, he's coming along,
oh,
and our letterer, even Jared Fletcher. We're
oh,
keeping
great.
The whole team together.
Awesome. Well, Don, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today on Comic News Insider, and we look forward to several of the new things coming out.
Rock today. On, yeah.
All right, I'm going to go take the phone off the hook and get back to it.
Nice. Thanks again.
Take it easy, everyone.
All right.
Well, that was our interview with Darwin. I hope you had a great time listening to it, and I hope that you tune in to our upcoming podcasts. We have a few more excellent interviews from San Diego Comic-Con, and we have a great new podcast coming out in the next couple days, so make sure you tune into that. Thanks again for listening to Comic News Insider, and as always, if you have any inside information to share with us, make sure you email us at comicnewsinsider@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening.